Okay, tonight is Monday night, November 13th. This is the Gemara share. We're up to Mayit Kat on the bottom of Yudal and Amud Aleph. Okay, we are up to okay. We had learned the Gemara in the middle of Yudal and Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah claimed, where the Gemara claimed that our Mishnah is not in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Our Mishnah, which says that somebody who's born in Medinas Hayom is automatically permitted to engage in Giluach on Chol HaShomoed. And this would not necessarily appear to be Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, because Rabbi Yehuda said, Habom in Medinas Hayom lo yigalech min shelo yotza b'rushus, shelo b'rushus. So now Rava qualifies this. Amar Rava, we started again just to get to the whole sugya. Amar Rava, Lashut Divrei Hakol Asur, Lemizonos Divrei Hakol Mutter. So if you remember, if you're going out just for a cruise, everybody says you're not allowed to take a haircut on Chol HaShomoed. If you're going out for Mizonos to earn a living, everybody says if you return too late on Erev Yom Tov, and you have to shave on Chol HaShomoed, or you came back on Chol HaShomoed, it is perfectly okay to take a haircut. The only machloikis is lo nechleku elu laharvicha. Only if the issue is you have adequate parnasa, but you want to make a lot more money. So mar medame lekiloshut. Rabbi Yehuda says that to earn a profit is like going out on a luxury cruise, and therefore Chol HaShomoed is asur, a shave. Umar and the Chachamim midamele lemizonos. So the Gemara challenges Meisve. Amar Rebbe, Nirin Divrei Rabbi Yehuda kishiyatza shelo berushus. It appears to me that Rabbi Yehuda is correct when he left shelo berushus. V'divrei Chachamim kishiyatza berushus. And I agree with the Chachamim. Their opinion seems to be more logical to me when he left Berushus. So the Gemara asks, "My Shelo Berushus? What exactly is Shelo Berushus? Ilei Meloshut. If you wanted to say Shelo Berushut, Shelo Berushus means to go on a cruise. For Ha'amrit Divrei Hakol Asur. Everybody says that's Asur." So that can't be the issue which Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are arguing about. Ve'elu lemizonos. So it's ve'elu lemizonos. Va'amar divrei hakol mutter. Nobody says that it's prohibited. Ela pshito laharvicha. Everybody must say that where is the point of contention? Only if you're going out to earn above and beyond your basic needs. Says the Gemara, Eima Seifa. Nirin divrei chachamim kishiyatza berushos. Rebbe made a statement that I agree with the Chachamim opinion means is a little more logical to me when he left Berushus. So the Gemara goes through the same little game. My Berushus, Ilei Limizonos Ha'amr Divrei Hakol Mutter. Everybody says if it's Limizonos that it's Mutter. Ve'elu Laharvicha. Must be that what did Rebbe have in mind when he said I like the Chachamim's opinion? That's when what? You're going out to simply earn more than you absolutely need. Well, the Gemara said 2 seconds ago that that is the case where he said, Nirin Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion means a little more, is a more logical to me. Well, which one is it? For Ha'amrit Nivrei de Rabbi Yehuda Baha. So, where is it that Rebbe made a statement that in one case, I think the Chachamim are more logical, and in the other case, I believe that Rabbi Yehuda is more logical. Based on the way the Gemara just set it up, the very same case where I think Rabbi Yehuda is more logical, is the exact same case where the Chachamim are more logical. What is the only case where there's some contention? It had to be Laharvicha. Because if it was Lashut, there was no Machloikis at all. So you don't have to say Nirin Divrei Chachamim. Nirin Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Because everybody, even the Chachamim, say you can't take a haircut if it's Lashut. If it's Lemizonos, you can't say Nirin Divrei Chachamim, because Rabbi Yehuda also agrees that you're allowed to take a haircut if you went out for Mizonos. The only single case where there might be an element of contention is Laharvicha. Well, if that's the case, I can't say I award the decision to Rabbi Yehuda in this case, and I award the decision to Chum in this case, if that case is the exact same one. That's the Gemara's question. Answers the Gemara, Hachi Ka'amar. Nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda l'rabbanan kishiyatzo shelo bershus. The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is logical to the Rabbana. Not when Rebbe initially said his statement, who did he say Nirin about? About himself. And therefore, about himself, he would be conflicting himself. So now the Gemara says, no, that's not what he had in mind. Rebbe said, Nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda lichachamim. The Chachamim seem to find Rabbi Yehuda's opinion acceptable under a certain condition. Under what circumstances did the Chachamim claim that we see the logic of Rabbi Yehuda when it was Omed Lashut, when he went out, Mayniu Lashut? Sha'afilu Chachamim lo nechleku alav elal harvicha. Avo Lashut module. The debate between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is only if it's Laharviach. But if he went out for a cruise, then the Chachamim are saying, Rabbi Yehuda, we agree with you. V'nirin divrei Rabbanan l'Rabbi Yehuda kishiyatze b'rushus umayun aliminizonos. And Rabbi Yehuda said to the Chachamim, not I, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Rebbe. It's Rebbe is reporting that Rabbi Yehuda acknowledged to the Rabbanan, I like your opinion. I see the logic in your opinion when he went out lemizonos. Sha'afilu Rabbi Yehuda lo nechlak aleim elu laharvicha. Because even Rabbi Yehuda only disagrees when they went out laharviach. Avo lemizonos modeluhu. So therefore, everything works out fine and dandy. There is no conflict in Rabbi Yehuda, in Rebbe's statement. Rebbe is just reporting about the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. That Rabbi Yehuda acknowledged the Chachamim's opinion when they went out with Mizonos. The Chachamim acknowledged Rabbi Yehuda's opinion when they went out for a cruise. And the only point of contention is if they went out Laharvicha. But there is no conflict about Rebbe, because Rebbe didn't say anything about what appears suitable or acceptable to him. Fine. Very simple Gemara. Very simple. Yeah. Omar Shmuel. Katan hanolad b'moed, mutur legalech b'moed. A minor who was born on Cholosh HaMoed, a baby who was born on Cholosh HaMoed, you're allowed to shave him on Cholosh HaMoed. She'ein lecha beis ho'asurin gadol mizeh. Because there is no more apt description of this particular child other than he got released from prison. Because when he was in his mother's womb, he couldn't get out. Asks the Gemara. Okay, so, yeah. So take a look at Rashi. Take a look at Rashi. Katan hanola b'moed. Rashi says, "Velo sa'arot gidolim." He happens to have he was born with a lot of hair. Then mutar galech b'moed sa'arosho hamitza'arot. Now, this would be a new one. Because mothers normally know when the kid's crying, he's got to cry, I'm hungry. He's got to cry, I got to change my diaper. He's got to cry, I'm tired. Now he has to have another cry. My hair is bothering me. That's one I never heard before. Never heard that cry before. Okay, but that's what Rashi says. Hamitza'aro, it's bothering. How's the Pesha going to say it's bothering him? But that's what Rashi says. Take a look at the Ritva on page number one of the handout, towards the bottom of the page. Omar Shmuel, Katan Hanolad B'moed Butul Galcho, Piresh Rashi Zal, Im Haseor Mitza'aro. Only if the hair is bothering him. Says the Ritva, V'divrei Pichacham He. Rashi's words are the words of a wise individual. De'i litzorech tikun gufo, o litzorech refua. If this was litikun gufo, what do you think that means, tikun gufo? What does that mean? What do you think it means?
Good.
What?
To look good.
That's what it sounds like, to look good. O litzorech refua. Or if it happens to be for a medicinal benefit, pshita, it's 100% mutter. The afilu benolat kodem hamoed, because under those circumstances, even if the baby was not born on cholo shamoed, when was the baby born? Before Yom Tov, you still would allow to do it on cholo shamoed if there was a medicinal benefit. The ha'afilu mibehema ein monin refua. Because even from an animal, you don't deny an animal refua on cholo shamoed, so certainly you're not going to deny a child any therapeutic idea that happens to be okay. That happens to be okay. So, if he's putting the emphasis on refua, I think tikkun gufo can't really mean what? To look good. So tikkun gufo must be that what? That he has some type of problem, some kind of deformity or something. And the hair is getting what? In the way of rectifying this, whatever problem it is. He's got a boil on his head. He's got something there that he now has to address. So in order to correct the defect on his body, whatever that defect is, in order to do so effectively, you have to take a haircut. Under those circumstances, you are permitted to take a haircut on Cholo Shamoed. Therefore, and that's even if he's born before Yom Tov. Therefore, says the Ritva, Rashi is right that under what circumstances are we going to allow him to take a haircut? Only if he was born on Cholo Shamoed. What's the only case? Hamitza'aro. There's no physical defect. He's not sick. But it's annoying him. The hair is so long that it's annoying him. So if it's annoying him, then we will allow him to go ahead and take a haircut only if he was born on Cholo Shamoed. That's what the Ritva says. That's what the Ritva says. And in fact, if you now go to page number 2 for a moment and see what the Magen Avraham says when he pipes up on this particular issue, this is Simin Tavkuf Lamed Aleph Sif Katan Ches in the Magen Avraham. Says the Magen Avraham, Delo Shayich Beita'ama Shelo Yikanes Lemoe Kishehu Minuva. The reason of allowing a baby to take a haircut when he's born on Chol Shamoed obviously cannot be that what? So that he will not enter Yom Tov having taken a haircut. Why? The law of bar mitzvah. He's not a bar mitzvah kid. So he's not obligated to what? To appear as a not a menuvel on the first day of Yom Tov. So even if he was born before Yom Tov.
So why should he also to begin with?
Okay, so let's see. However, ubenimuki Yosef kasav, Vidafka Shiyeshlo Sarav Umitzaer Adkan. So under normal circumstances, we would not allow him to take a haircut. We're gonna see why in a second, unless there was a compelling reason to do so. That the kid was what? Annoyed. V'dafka l'katan mutu l'galeach l'tzorach haregel. So what is the Magen Avraham really saying here? From the kid's perspective, there's nothing to debate that of course it's mutter. Why of course it's mutter? Because he's a katan, and he's not chayv any mitzvahs, and he doesn't have to listen to anything. But the kid couldn't take a haircut himself. What do we have to worry about? What do we have to concern ourselves with? And this is the parent or whoever the barber is. Can the barber go ahead and cut his hair for no reason whatsoever?
Why not?
What?
Why not some halacha?
Ah, so now that's what, in effect, what the Magen Avraham is referring to. And that, look what he writes at the end. Avo la'akum osu l'galeach. Now, if a guy comes for a haircut, do you say that a guy couldn't take a haircut of Chol Shemot Shalei Yikanis L'Regel Tishu Menuvo? What does he care? You know, he's a guy. So what's the Isur? Dilo aduf mishar belachos de asu la'asosan b'moed elo imkein ein lo ma'yocha. The issue is not on the person being given the haircut, but what's the issue that we have to address? The person giving the haircut. So if the person's giving a haircut, the halacha is, it's asur b'malacha. It's an isur malacha. And we don't allow an isur malacha to be done unless you have nothing to eat. Under those circumstances, we will allow you. Well, here it's not talking about that you have nothing to eat. Because if you had nothing to eat, there would be no chiddush in a katan. You can even give an adult a haircut under those circumstances. That's why everybody else has to scratch their head and say, what is the reason why we're allowing this baby to be shaved to take a haircut on Chol Shemoed? What's the answer? The hair is bothering him. Since the hair is bothering him, under those circumstances, we will allow it. And now, as I mentioned last week, we're going to keep bringing this up tonight, it goes back to the machloikis, whether or not the Isur Melacha on Chol HaShomoed is an Isur d'Oraisa or an Isur d'Rabbanan, vis-a-vis your doing something to a child. If it's an Isur d'Oraisa, under those circumstances, you are not allowed to do an Isur Melacha onto a child. As I mentioned last week, you're not allowed to put leather shoes on a child on Yom HaKippurim, according to the Rambam, who says that all five Isurim on Yom Kippur are Asur Midoraisa. You're not allowed to put shoes on a baby with leather shoes. You have to put knitted booties on him for Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to feed a kid, if not for the fact that what? That it's Sakanas Tafashas. Otherwise you can't feed a kid on Yom Kippur. And whenever you have an Isur d'Oraisa, you're not allowed to feed a kid tarfus under any circumstances, no matter how old the kid is. The Isur is not on the child, the Isur is on the person who's feeding him. You're not allowed to ask a child to do a malacha for you on Shabbos. And it's not the kid that can't do it. The kid can do the malacha, but you can't ask him to do it. So if it's an Isur d'Oraisa, under those circumstances, we understand why you have to have a compelling reason. Litza'arov, or refuah, and so on and so forth. Unless, if not for that, it's asur midoraisa. If it's only asur midrabanan, then we return to that machlokes, the Rambam and the Rashba. According to the Rambam, the law of lo ta'achilum, and lo tasa kol malacha ata uvincha ubitecha, which are talking about your minor children, doesn't apply to Yisurei Derabbanan. It only applies to Yisurei Deraisa. The Rashba holds that you're not allowed to tell a kid to do an Yisurei Derabbanan even, and you're not allowed to do an Yisurei Derabbanan on a child unless there's some benefit from it. So therefore we have to kvetch and find a benefit for this particular child. Because if there is no benefit, you now have to face the Isur Malacha consideration. Because lo yikanes leregel kishahu minuval obviously plays zero role in relationship to this particular child. Yeah.
On your previous page, you know, the very top line.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the general halacha. That's
he
the.
Says, he says, "Kitzorof ochel nefesh."
Which where are you reading?
The very top line.
It says, "Kadei shi'arat ayah b'lo yikan l'mad kishu manuva." What?
The very top line.
On page
one.
On page one?
Right.
The Ritva?
Right, the very top line.
Yeah, it says Afagav Yiluach Malachim Gemur Mikama Kev Shitikan Aguf VeYipa Kitzorich Ochol Nefesh. So he's. This is what we said before that Mitzad the Isur Malacha Giluach should have been Mutter on Cholosh HaMoed just as cooking is. So what's the only reason why they said you shouldn't take it? Shelo Yikanes Laredo Kishu Menuva. Right. But mitzad the isur malacha, it should not have been a problem. That's not what the Magen Avraham said.
Right, that's my point.
You're 100% right. The Ritva is not learning that this is an isur malacha issue.
Right.
Correct. It's only a gzeira midrabanan issue. Whereas the Magen Avraham is raising, that is a good point. Correct. 100% correct. 100% correct.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Long again, invite the Gemara. Hold on one second. Yeah, it's next page. Okay. So let's keep going, Gemara. Back to the Gemara. Masiv Rav Pinchas. So Rav Pinchas is going to challenge the previous statement of Shmuel. Kol elu she'amru mutar legaleach b'moed. All of the people. We're back in the Gemara on the bottom of Yudal and Amud Aleph. Three lines at the bottom. Masav Rav Pinchas. Kol elu she'amru mutar legaleach b'moed. Anyone who our Mishnah has identified as permitted to take a haircut on Cholosh HaMoed. Muto ligaleach bimei evlo. He is allowed to shave as well in the midst of his avelos. So if the following happened, somebody was in prison, and he gets out of prison, and what happens? Somebody dies in his family, which makes him an avel. Normally an avel is not allowed to shave. But here, since he had no opportunity to shave before he became an Avel, and it sprung upon him, so now we're going to be Mekil and allow him to take a shave during the Avelis. Mutu legalech b'me'evla. Inference, ha osur legalech b'moed, osur legalech b'me'evla. Any person who we do not allow you to take a shave or a haircut on Cholosh HaMoed, such a person has restrictions upon him or herself on during Avelis as well. So if a guy was just sitting around and he didn't take a haircut for 3 months, and now somebody dies, and even though he looks like the biggest Vildachai in the world, who cares? We don't care. Under those circumstances, he's not allowed to take a haircut during Cholosh HaMoed. However, I amrit katan ispe plukta. If you believe that a child, it makes a difference whether the child is born when? Before Yom Tov or during Yom Tov. Nimtzeis avelus no heges pekata. Let's take a look at Rashi on the top of the page. I amrit bekatan isle plukta. What do I mean plukta here? Chiluk. Dinolat koidim haregel. Eino migaleach beregel. That unless there are compelling circumstances, a baby who was born before Yom Tov, we do not allow him to take a haircut on Cholosh HaMoed. Unless for refuah purposes. Islon lemeimar. Ho'il v'osu l'galeach b'regel, osu l'galeach nami b'me'evlo. So what should we now say based on Shmuel's statement that a whoever, and that whoever is now going to include a minor, whoever is not allowed to take a haircut on Cholosh HaMoed, who might that be? Who might that be in our current discussion? A katan who was born on Erev before Yontif. He's not allowed to take a haircut on Cholosh HaMoed. Yeah?
I understand the premise of the whole question. I mean, so, which is the...
We have got the question.
No, I don't understand the premise of the introduction. Which is more machmir, which is more less machmir? So if Moed is more machmir than Abel, then...
No, he's comparing it to, that they're exactly the same. The only people who are allowed to take a haircut during Avelus are those people who are permitted to take a haircut during Cholosh HaMoed.
Yeah, but you could argue, so if Rav Yochanan says, Kol Elo She'omru Mutar L'Galeach Moed, Mutar L'Galeach Me'evlo, meaning, if Avelus, let's say, is less problematic than Moed, so if you could do it during Moed, then for sure you could do it during Avelus.
Okay.
But then you can't make the comment, Asur L'Galeach Moed, Asur L'Galeach Me'evlo, because that's not true. Meaning, it's if the Moed is more
Chamor. Okay, then, so what would you now have to assume?
But the logic doesn't exist. So he's making a logic argument that they're the same.
No, but I can make a case that they're the same. In one of two ways. If I hold that the Isur of Cholosh HaMoed is the Rabbanan, well, Avelus is also the Rabbanan.
Yeah.
If you want to say that what? Cholosh HaMoed, the Isur Malachas Daraisa, I'll tell you, we're talking about the first day of Avelus. And Avelus Yom Rishon, we say, is the Oraisa.
So he's trying to say them they're exactly equal?
Correct.
Not that
either they are both.
If you do one, for sure you can do the other.
That is correct. They're simply equal. You read it as a Kal V'Chomer. You don't have to, you're not compelled to say that we're dealing with a Kal and a Chomer. He's just saying that these situations are equated. Once I know that they're either both Midrabbanan or both Midoraisa, I have a right to compare one to the other. And that was Shmuel's Chiddush. Because there are no statements about, you know, exceptions to Avelus. There are no exceptions. There's no Gemara that says, a Braisa or a Mishnah that says, these people in Avelus are allowed to take a haircut. It doesn't say that. It's that Shmuel says the paradigm is Cholosh HaMoed. If you're allowed to take a haircut on Cholosh HaMoed, you're allowed to take a haircut during Avelus too. So it's not Kol V'Chaim.
Okay.
So therefore, asks Rashi, that since I will now say that if you were born before Cholosh HaMoed, just as if you got out of prison before Cholosh HaMoed, are you allowed to take a haircut on Cholosh HaMoed? No. So too we should say the same thing. If you were born before you became an Avel, under those circumstances, then you should not be able to give the kid a haircut. You should not. Says the Gemara, Nimtzeis Avelus Lekata. The net result is that you're going to have to acknowledge that the concept of Avelus applies to a child. And that's impossible, asks the Gemara. The Hotanya, we learned in a Braisa, Mekarin Lekata only Mipnei Agbas Nefesh. Only Mipnei Agbas Nefesh. What is, says Rashi, Mekarin Lekatan Es Bigadav, in line 4 of the Rashi, Mipnei Agmas Nefesh. Sheyivku Haroin, when adults see the child with a ripped garment, it's going to increase their own sense of the loss, and they will cry more. Veyirbu Bichvod Hames, and they will increase their intensity of Kvod Hames. Velo Mipnei Shehu Ovel, but not on account of the fact that he rips his garment based on the fact that he, the child, is an Avel. So, that's going to what? Challenge Shmuel's opinion. Because Shmuel is being used as the basis that whatever is mutter on Cholosh HaMoed is mutter for Avelus. So the Gemara says the converse should be true as well. Whoever is not allowed to take a haircut on Cholosh HaMoed is not allowed to take a haircut during Avelus. We just said when it was the only time that a child is allowed to take a haircut, only if he was born on Chalosh HaMoed. Inference, if he's not allowed to, if he's born before Chalosh HaMoed, he's not allowed to take a haircut on Chalosh HaMoed. Well, now, according to Shmuel, that should mean that a katan who was born before Avelus sets itself in, he's born 2 days later after he was born, his mother dies, his father dies, okay, he can't take a haircut. Why not? Because he's an other?
Who's forcing you to make that?
But that's his logic. If you claim that the inference is true, so you're going to have to follow it through completely. Because we said that a katan who is born on Chalosh HaMoed is ki yatza mi beiso asur and dami, and therefore he's allowed to take a haircut. So now you must say that if the katan was born before Chalosh HaMoed, when did he get out of prison? Before Yom Tov. If you get out of prison before Yom Tov, you can't take a haircut on Chalosh HaMoed. So now I say, if he got out of prison before his mother died, he's not allowed to take a haircut. That's the next step of logic. That's the next step. Yeah. Yeah. And the Gemara says that's impossible. Amar Rav Ashi, mi ketani ha'asurin. Does our Gemara really say, or does the Braisa really say, that whoever is what? Prohibited to take a haircut on Chalosh HaMoed is not allowed to take a haircut what? On during Avelus? Dilma yesh mehen asur v'yesh mehen mutter. After all, the Braisa didn't really say anything. What do we say? You infer. You use your grubbing finger. You infer. Well, maybe you made a wrong inference. Your inference was whatever is asur on Chalosh HaMoed is usher during Avelus. Says Rav Ashi, don't use whatever. There are some of those who are prohibited to take a haircut on Chalosh HaMoed, who indeed are prohibited to take a haircut during Avelus. But there are others who are usher to take a haircut on Chalosh HaMoed, but they are still permitted to take a haircut during Avelus. And who does it happen to be? A little pesher, a katan. So Rav Ashi deflects the question under those circumstances. Under those circumstances. Now, take a look at first question. First question, Svasemis' question. He asks the following question. Take page number 3 for a minute. If you remember correctly, one of the cases, the first case, of which the Mishnah had listed that you are permitted to take a haircut on Chalosh HaMoed was Haba Mimdina Sayyam. But we just reviewed the Gemara 5 seconds ago and said not every Ba Mimdina Sayyam is allowed to take a haircut on Chalosh HaMoed. What type of Ba Mimdina Sayyam is permitted to take a haircut on Chalosh HaMoed? Sheyatza Shalobur Shus. He did something Be'isur. He left initially Be'isur. What was that case? Lashut, for example. If you go out for a cruise, everybody says you did something wrong. Or, if you want to take it differently, remember last week we introduced the Ravid and others who claim that what does it mean that you left Be'isur? Where did you travel before Yom Tov, or on where did you travel from? Out of Eretz Yisrael. Good. So your initial travel was what? So since you left Be'isur under those circumstances, you should have come back before Yom Tov. before Yom Tov, and we're not going to allow you to take a haircut on Chol Hashem Moed. Asks the Sfasenas. Let's read it. Ha'asu legaleach the Moed asu b'me'evlo. Yesh la'ayim l'salki daitach the Gemara. That according to our Gemara, which we just reviewed, the imkain b'halach l'mdinas hayom l'ashut the lekulei alma asu legaleach b'moed. Yehi asur nami b'me'evlo. Such a person, according to Shmuel, cannot take a haircut during his Avelus either. Ube'emet ein hasvara kein. That logic is faulty, says the Svasemes. D'chol hatam d'osur b'moed. Why is it that if the guy left Medina Sayyam to go on a cruise, m'nei shehu kehevek kiposheya, because he is a posheya. What do I mean he's a posheya? Bameh shelo gilach mikodem me'acha diyoda diyeh dochuk lo hashah. Once he knows he's on a boat, he knows that he's not going to have much time to take a haircut before arriving back. So what should he have done? Taken the haircut before Yom Tov. Avol ba'ovel haba alav pit'om. What could you possibly say? You're never allowed to go on a cruise your whole life? Does that what the Gemara, when the Gemara said that when you left Lashut, it meant you're never allowed to go on a cruise? No. Why weren't you allowed to go on a cruise? Because what were you going to be? You're going to be on a boat when? On Yom Tov. So therefore they're penalizing you. But you were on a boat, and now what happened? Your father dies. Somebody's father dies. Well, how could you have prevented that? So therefore, the whole analogy between Avel and Chol Hashem Moed, Esses Vasemes, this is totally weak. Totally weak. Totally weak. And he writes, "Vahapois." You look at the last line. "Vahapois can be yoredeya satmu havar dvar." The poiskim and yoredeya just do what? They just follow our Gemara. Velit sarichia ludina. I just don't understand it. How can Shmuel make this simple analogy between our Gemara of Chol Hashem Moed and Avel? Yeah.
Was it Shmuel or Rabbi Pinchas?
Shmuel made a statement. What?
What is he quoting? It doesn't say Tanya or anything like that. He's just quoting something.
That's correct. Like Shmuel and Rabbi Pinchas. What?
Do we know it's a Brisa? Or what is he
quoting? He's quoting a Brisa.
Doesn't say Tanya or anything like that.
No. In which words?
Kol Eilu Shomer Mutar LeGalach B'Moed Mutar LeGalach B'Moed. Rabbi Pinchas.
Yeah.
In other words, is he saying it just on his own, or he's quoting?
No, the Mesoros Hashas says it's a Tosefta in Perek Beis. Oh. It's a Braisa. Okay. The little Ches next to Kol Eilu.
Okay.
It's a Braisa. It's a Braisa. Yeah. Furthermore, take a look at Rab Kiveger. You have the Rab Kiveger on Daf Yudal of Beis, the Gilyan Ashas. You have the Rab Kiveger. Nimtza Avelus Noheges Pekata. Everybody have the Rab Kiveger? The Gilyan Ashas? You got it?
Yeah.
Not in the sheet. It's in the Gemara. It's printed. That's why I didn't have to waste a piece of a tree. Save the tree, because it's in the Gemara. As you told me last week, the art scroll has Reb Kiveger on it. Nimtzeis Avelus Noheges Pekata. If we were to accept Rav Pinchas, the way Rav Pinchas appears in our Gemara, the net result would be that what? That what? That there must be Avelus for a child. And that's why we will deny him a haircut. Asks Rav Kiveger. Kashali. Ha'adarabah. Kevon de bekaton lo shayich avelus, ein ze yotzei min haklal. Since by a child, what? There is no avelus whatsoever, a katan can't be an exception to a rule, because in order to be an exception, what has to be? You got to be in the parsha. You got to be obligated. Ein ze yotzei min haklal. The kol she asur b'moed asur b'mei evlo. The yemei evlo hainu b'mi shehu avel. B'mei evlo means by definition somebody who is an avel during his avelus can't take a haircut. Ma she'ein katan, she'ein kein b'katan, the eino avel. He is never, the gavra is never an avel. Ubimoed eino isur al hakatan rak al hamigaleach. By cholosho moed, you can somehow bring in what? Bring in the guy, the barber. Because for the barber, it's also cholosho moed. So we can talk about not giving a child a haircut, not mitzad the isur for the child, but for the tzad from the isur of the migaleach, the barber. Avol be'evel, if the baby's mother died. That doesn't make the barber an avel. Doesn't make the barber an avel. Avol be'evel, da hamagaleach eino avel, va'al katan leka isur. What in the world is the Gemara saying? Shma minah, yesh avelus bekata.
Maybe the same agmas nefesh for as caring as seeing him with hair growth.
No, but that's the proof. That there is no avelus. That there is no avelus. Oh, that they didn't see him with long hair.
Yeah, it's the same.
So why didn't the Gemara just answer that? That's a very good suggestion. Why didn't the Gemara suggest that? You know why now they give him a haircut? Because if he has long hair, that'll increase the tsar for the people who are real of it. He doesn't answer that. So what does Rabbi Kiveg answer? Nothing, as usual. Vitzarich li inyan gadol. Not the tzarechiyon gadol, says Rabbi Kiveg. 99% of the time, Rabbi Kiveg doesn't give an answer. And Rabbi Chaim is always fond of saying, even if you think you have an answer, the kasha bleibt der kasha. Because Rabbi Kiveg's kashas are so much on the mark that even if you think you have an answer, the kasha bleibt der kasha. Bleibt der kasha. So that's what Rabbi Kiveg asks. What in the world is going on here? What in the world's going on? So the Keren Ira, if I believe I have the Keren Ira here. Yes, on page 5. For a minute. Let's see what the Keren Ayur says. Masav Rak Pinchas Ha'asu B'moy Asu B'me'evlo Ululishne Basra Misayale L'shmo Mehay Braisa Mikan Nami Muchach Da'afilu Giru Acharosh Mutter. Okay, so we didn't do the Ululishne Basra yet. Okay, so it's a little premature. Let's not look at this yet. Because we have to see the Gemara, another version. However, I want to elaborate here for a minute about koirin lekatan b'pnei admas nefesh. That's Rashi's opinion. However, there are others who write a little differently. The Ran, for example, writes that this is only if the kriya takes place b'pnei hames. Bifnei hames, then the ripping of the katan is adds bichia. But if the ripping is not because you're standing al hames, and that's why it's many have to practice. We try to do it wherever possible. That where do we rip kriya? You know, if somebody loses somebody, we'll wait until the levaya, and then you bring the Kroivim into the room where the Aron is standing, and you are Kireya Bifnei Hames. Because the Ran says that's where Kriya should take place, and that's where it adds Bechiah. But if it's on what is called a Shmua Kriva, Shmua Kriva is, you're not standing Bifnei HaMeis. Either the mace was even buried already, so it can't be standing Bifnei HaMeis. So, but you were told within Shloishim, within 30 days, that this person died. So if you are told within 30 days that this person died, there is a chi of kriya. You have to rip kriya under those circumstances. So that type of kriya, says the Ran, a katan does not engage in. Because if it's just to fulfill the mitzvah of kriya, a katan is not chayv in the mitzvah of kriya. So therefore, if you're not chayv in the mitzvah of kriya, you're not allowed to rip the garment. Why not? It's baltashkas. Exactly. Baltashkas. And it's not going to be marbe bechia, so therefore the Ran says, do not rip under those circumstances. Do not rip under those circumstances. Yeah. However, go back to page number 4 for a minute and take a look at the Taz on the bottom of the page. Mikarin lo, bitur kosav mipnei admas nefesh, perush today laharbos behesped. That if you hear the kid, if you rip, then it'll increase the crying and the hespedim for the deceased. Kosav haritz geus, vikatan shehegia lachinuch, korin lo kiderech shemechanchin oso bishar mitzvot. The Ritz Geus disagrees. And he says, why do you rip for a katan? At least for a katan, shagia l'chinuch, like you train him to observe any other mitzvah. Upiresh beis Yosef, hainu afilu hecha shemeis lo meis, deles be'at mishumag mas nefesh. Even in a situation where there is no necessarily of adding agmas nefesh, you just rip for a kata. The ukasa bedrisha mikan raya ktsas shekatan shehigia lechina tsorich lin hog kol dine avelis. That from here we learn that if you have to rip kriya, a minor who is higia lechina has to observe all avelis. Has to sit on a low chair, can't wear shoes, and whatever halacha applies for Avelos applies to a katan as well. Venerally, the af biyom shmua kroiva, the heva kim yom akrura kimoshe kasev lekaman simon tafbeis heva dina. Hachi, the gam sham ika igmas agmas nefesh v'kavu b'meis le'enei haroim kriya shel katan. V'yesh mi shechaylik alzeh. There is somebody who disagrees with me. We just read it, the Ran. And look what he writes. V'ein b'dvarav mamish. That's a pretty sharp thing for the Taz to say about the Ran. But you know the history of the Taz. The Taz was one of the saddest, most bitter people ever to write any major commentaries on anything. Because he was overpowered by two other Perushim. In Aruch Chaim, the Magen Avraham outranks him every single time. Whenever there's a machlokes to Magen Avraham, the Taz, we pass him like the Magen Avraham. In Yoredeya and Chayshin Mishpat, it's the Shach. Shach over the Taz, we take the Shach every single time. And in fact, the Taz, he wrote his commentary, Yoredeya particularly, against the Shach. Not just so much against, just attacking the Shach. And the Shach wrote a response called the Nekudas HaKesef. It's printed on the outside of the march, another march in the Shulchan Aruch, where he rips apart the Taz's attack on him, and he complained bitterly throughout his life that he felt that Paiskim didn't take him seriously enough, and because they always claimed that the Shach and the Magen Avraham outvoted him. Interestingly enough, there are a couple of times where world Jewry has decided to follow the Taz. World Jew. Number one, by davening Maariv late on the first night of Shavuos. Nobody in the world, the Magen Avraham doesn't quote it, that means he doesn't agree with it. And most shuls, the first night of Shavuos, will not be Mekabel Yontov early, and they'll adopt the practice of davening late. The Rav was not a big fan of the Taz davening late. And he says, since when does his concern about Tamimos overpower the mitzvah of Tosefes Yontov? So the Rav said you can ignore it. And B'nai Yishur, they have one minyan where they daven early, the first night of Shavuos, they don't wait until after Tzeis. But we usually do, because that was one place where we followed the Taz. A lot of people follow the Taz. And there are one or two other places where we suddenly follow the Taz. Him and the Aruch shake hands. That the Aruch wrote on all the Shas, and we pick up a couple of people, a couple of situations, like blowing 100 sounds. No one ever said that before the Aruch. No one said it after the Aruch. The Rambam never heard of blowing Mea Kodos on Rosh Hashanah. Aruch said it. Klal Yisrael is Noiv like the Aruch. So him and the Taz can shake hands about that. So here the Taz says that under those circumstances, the Katan should be observe all Averis. Rav Kook has a beautiful thought where he disagrees with the Mishnah Brura, who follows the Beis Yosef, who says that you should necessarily have Chinuch for Avelos. The Rav Kook says, I have to distinguish between Avelos Yishana and Avelos Chadasha. That if you're dealing with fresh Avelos, that's full Avelos Chadasha, when your mother, your father dies, okay, you should have Chinuch for a child. But for Tisha B'Av, what we call Avelos Yishana, says the Rav Kook, the very famous Rav Kook, there's no Chinuch for that. Why? Because then you have no emunah that Bias HaMashiach, Mashiach is coming. Why should I be mechanech a child, this Tisha B'Av, to observe Avelos? Why? So he'll know how to observe next year Tisha B'Av, when he becomes an adult. That means you have no faith that Mashiach is going to come and convert next Tisha B'Av into a regel, into a chag. And therefore Rav Kook ruled that none of the Avelos, the 3 weeks, the 9 days, none of that has any application to a minor. And the Rav commented on Rav Kook and he said, Ra'ui l'misha amro. It's fitting for Rav Kook to say that, and he agreed with him 1,000% that for Avelos Chadasha, there is no chinuch for a child under those circumstances. For Avelos Shishana, there's no chinuch for a child.
So under you should have a chinuch for a second day yet.
What?
You might move to Israel after next year.
That's interesting. That is interesting.
It's like when was it Rav Chaim who didn't make Kiddush when he was a Katan on Yom Kippur? He says, what do I need chinuch for? I'm going to be fasting.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah? If he's eating, you mean? Yeah, when a child eats. Yeah. 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 So that's what the Taz says. Then, let's continue to Gemara for a minute. There is an Amemar, line 5. Amemar, the Itema Rav Shesha, Berei Derav, Deravidi, Masnihachu. They cite Shmuel differently, and then everything works out fine and dandy. Hachi Amar Shmuel. Katan Mutu Legalcho B'moed. You're always allowed to shave and take a haircut, give a child a haircut of Cholosh HaMoed. Loshna Nolad B'moed, Loshna Loed Mikara. Makes no difference whether the child was born on Cholosh HaMoed or he was born before Yontif. Amarav Pinchas, Afanan Namitanina. We have a brisa that supports this decision. Why? Kol Elu She'amru Mutu L'Galeach B'moed, Mutu L'Galeach B'mei Evlo. Anybody who is allowed to take a haircut on Cholosh HaMoed is allowed to take a haircut during his Avelos. Inference. ho asurin legaleach b'moed, asurin legaleach b'me'evla. E amrit katan asur. If you wanted to say that a katan cannot take a haircut under any circumstances on chol shomoed, that means he has to observe avelus. Nimsa avelus nohegus b'katan. Vitanya, and we learned in a brisa, mikarin lekatan b'nei agmas nefesh. Amar Rav Ashi, mi ketani ha asurin, dilma yesh mehen asur v'yesh mehen muter. So it works out fine and dandy. Why does it work out fine and dandy? Because there are some people who indeed, just as they're not allowed to take a haircut during Chol HaShomoed, they're not allowed to take a haircut during Avelos. But a katan may not be able to take what? A haircut on Chol HaShomoed, but everybody says a katan can take a haircut during Avelos. Everybody says so. So instead of being challenged by Rav Pinchas, what does Rav Pinchas simply do according to this version? He sets it up as proof to what he is doing. Proof to what he's doing. So now take a look at the Keren Ora on page 5. Masav Rav Pinchas ha'asu b'moed asu b'me'evlo ulelishna basra misayile l'shmul mehabraisa. Mikan nami mucha da afilu giluach haroish mutar. Apparently, not only a shave, but even a haircut would be put mutter. The im lokein lalishna basra nami tikshe ha asur b'moed hainu giluach haroish asur b'me'evlo. If you wanted to make a distinction between a shave and what and a haircut, then things would not work out well with the inference to a katan. And a katan would be the same thing. He is allowed to, he might be able to take a shave on his little fresh two-day-old beard, but he's not going to be able to take a haircut. In kein batzinu lakata, avelos lakata. Elishma mina dehakol mutar, ve'ein bo misho malacha, kevan l'tzorech hamoedu. Ve'leke isura bazeh, ela mishum shelo yikanes beregel, kishuhu menuva. Ubekatan, lo shayich gezeirazu lelishna basra umutu legalcho b'chol gavne, and therefore under all circumstances in relationship to a katan you are permitted to do everything, give him a shave and give him a haircut during his avelus according to the second interpretation. Alright, stop here. Remember, there's no shir next week, and the week after that, it'll be Tuesday night.
There was no chinuch by Drabanas.
There is chinuch.
There is chinuch by Drabanas.
Yes. In fact, the Rambam writes in Hilchot Megillah. You're supposed to bring your kids to Shmaya Kriya Megillah, Kid Lachanchan B'mitzvah.
When is he last?
Wow.
Wow, it was unbelievable.
Wow.
He said, "Want to know something about what the world is like? You ask the real grandfather." And so he stole the medicine today. He said that in
his He used to come to the share.
Passed
away.
My in-laws were going to go to the Levaya.